Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. 626-427-7678 is our phone number. That's 626-427-7678 is the phone number to reach us, to contact us, to leave a message, to talk sports here on Everyman Sports Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. At Everyman Sports is one word. Thank you very much. It's just me, and we are not at Citi Field. We were yesterday. At the Reds-Mets suspended game of July 27th. We did not make it through the entire game because the rain came, and it came in a lot of ways. Sideways and torrential downpour and mists and all sorts of things. We had a nice little setup outside in the parking lot, but we just didn't, you know, partially is the reason I'd forgotten my podcast and recording equipment, microphones and computers and all of that stuff. But at the same time, it didn't really make sense to record while it was raining. Not enough space to sort of venture out underneath the tents that we have in the parking lots. So it would make for tight. It would make for very noisy. So we decided to, you know, hold it off for another day. And I figured today was as much of a good day as any. Recording this on the day after June 28th, the Sunday. So yes, so we were at the Mets game and in the parking lot, and a lot of people were there. We were actually able. We were there to also see the Steve Miller Band, you know, Fly Like an Eagle, and all sorts of stuff like that. But that also got postponed to today, the Sunday game, June 28th, after the second game. So. It happens sometimes, you know, when you have a stadium that doesn't have a retractable roof, these things are bound to happen. I remember the big thing was that when they first talked about the next stadium to come after Shea Stadium, I remember Steve Phillips was still the general manager, and they had a mock-up, a little model of what the stadium would look like, and there was a retractable roof on it. But for some reason, they decided to ditch the retractable roof. No, it makes sense. Retractable roofs make sense in locations that are very hot, like in the desert of Arizona, very wet, like down in Florida with the Rays and the Marlins, and even just, you never know what's going to happen. Look, Miller Park in Milwaukee, you know, they don't play in the winter, but, you know, there could be, you know, you're right off the lake, you're not too far from the lake of, is that Lake Michigan? No, is that Lake Michigan or Superior? I forget which one. But you're not very far from there, so you might get, you know, a lake effect rainstorm, or even, you know, just a cold, you know, September, October weather. So stuff like that makes sense. But, you know, I don't know. It when you look back at, say, something like the 2008 World Series between the Rays and the Phillies, you know, they had to suspend the game 2 days because of the rain. Meanwhile, I mean, that was a newer ballpark. That should have been, say, a stadium that was, covered, had a retractable roof. I understand not having domes. Domes are passé. Domes are old school. You know, retractable roofs are the way to go. But, you know, some of these stadiums, they just decided not to. And this is what happens. You know, it's still kind of strange that Coors Field, you know, they get snow, that's not a retractable roof. Minnesota, okay, you were in a dome for all these years. I understand wanting an outdoor stadium, but that gets really cold. I mean, early in the season, that's some really cold weather up there. And it's not like they decide to go, well, you know, the weather pattern doesn't always seem to be good. Let's start these teams on the road to begin with. I remember, I think it was two seasons ago? I remember it was 2013. The Mets were out in Colorado early in the season, and it snowed. And So the schedule makers decided to bring a team from New York out to Denver. You know, they only play these teams once a year on the road and then once at home because of the unbalanced schedule that focus on divisional play. So it made no sense to me that the Mets, who are only going to see the Rockies twice that season, once at home and once on the road, to go out there in March and then have to make those games up some other time later in the season. Why not just have those beginning games? Because they always end the season now with divisional games. You know, the NFL does that now too. But baseball, you always finish with somebody in your division at the end of the season or the last series of the year. So just have that happen where the first couple series of the season are local, are, you know, divisional teams, or because of the, you know, the every series has an interleague, you know, every week there's an interleague series, then just have it be a local or a nearby team. You know, the Rockies, okay, if you're the Rockies, it might snow, you know, early April, then you play somebody in your division, or you play somebody like the Mariners, nearby in that it's in, you know, a couple of that, you know, maybe 1,000+ miles away, as opposed to hunt, you know, multiple thousands of miles away. I don't know. I don't make the schedule. I understand that, you know, I'm just talking at my rear end right now, but I just don't understand why, when you know what the weather pattern is like and you just ignore it, for what? I don't know. That's just my point of view. And isn't that the whole point of this? It's just my point of view. Everybody's got a point of view. Everybody also has elbows and armpits and whatnot. So that is that's my little bit on that. Also, speaking of baseball, Giancarlo Stanton has some fractures in his hand, and so he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. You know, he made the choice to sign with the Marlins. I'm not saying that him signing with the Marlins got him a broken hand, or that signing with the Marlins or being a Marlin got him hit in the face with a baseball. Obviously, that has nothing to do with it. But bad luck is bad luck. You know, things aren't going well for you. Something's going on. You know, right now he's got a very team-friendly deal part. He's in the portion of the contract that's very team-friendly, as Keith Olbermann famously discerned from his contract. The first couple years of his big monster contract, it's actually a team-friendly deal, and it's later on the contract where he gets all that money. So right now he's playing with a team-friendly deal part of the contract, and he's getting hurt. And on the one hand, very smart of the Marlins, you know, how's he coming to come back from getting hit in the face with the ball, and now he's got all this hand issues. You know, is it going to be like Teixeira in his wrist? Which, by the way, again, you know, MRIs on Teixeira's wrist. He's been playing really good this year, but he just keeps getting hurt. And it just, you know, I understand he's older than Stanton, but still, there are just some people who get brittle all of a sudden, or, you know, just things start happening to them that, you know, wasn't happening earlier in their career. You know, Griffey's an example of that with his hamstrings. They just up and decided to disappear from his body and just, you know, hurt him a lot, especially in those last couple seasons. First his right one, then his left one. Didn't work out for him too well that way. But Stanton, I would like to see him succeed just because he is such a fantastic player. I'd much rather it be on some other team, if not the Mets, you know, another team in some other division, where he can wreak havoc elsewhere. If he's going to keep getting injured, this is the kind of stuff that will, that's going to, you know, have teams either shy away from you, or you're not going to get as great as a contract as you would want, or, you know, it's just a shame, that's all. So, that's happening over there. The Astros are playing really well. It's going to be interesting, a lot of these teams, because we're coming up very soon to the All-Star break. How many of them continue their winning ways, and how many of them pick up their winning ways after the All-Star break? You know, look at a team like the Mets, who right now are hovering around 500. Steve and Matz is supposed to pitch the second game today, or technically the first full game of today for the Mets. The Mets are going to have a six-man rotation. Again, they're going to try with that, just not with Dylan G. There's also talk that the Mets or the Cubs are interested in Jonathan Neese. Nice. So right now the Mets would have Bartolo Colon, Matt Harvey, Jacob deGrom, Steven Matz, Noah Syndergaard, and right now Jonathan Neese. So, I mean, that's really good young pitching, and you want to get something out of this because you don't just want these guys to, you know, be under the stress of if you give up two runs, you are losing the game. You know, or if you give up, you know, because we're not going to be able to support you. There needs to be run support. The trade market is thin, I understand. But because of the way that the playoffs are set up with the play-in wild card games, where there's technically five teams making it to the playoffs on each in each league, you really want these, you want to make the most of your time. And if you've got all this young pitching that can really hold the opponents to a low scoring, you want to get scoring. You know, just because you get another bat doesn't mean that it will succeed, but there just needs to be better hitting. That's just very disappointing. So hopefully the Mets can turn around, and a lot of the other clubs can turn it around too. And it'll be interesting to see if the Astros hold on to these winning ways in the second half. This is a young team. You know, Correa is up. Their big prospect shortstop, and of course their big hitters. And Dallas Keuchel is really he's pretty much saying, I'm going to win the Cy Young. Try and catch up if you want or if you can. You know, Chris Sale's been pitching wonderful. A lot of pitchers. You know, Max Scherzer had a no hitter that was almost a perfect game. I forget who on the Pirates leaning into the pitch to break up the perfect game, which I have no problem with. You know, I mean, that's these unwritten rules of baseball, they've kind of gone away. And, you know, it's for the better, and it's also for, you know, the disappointing. That, you know, that it's the sort of honoring and the gentleman's, you know, guide of the game. But I have no problem with it going both ways. Either, you know, these players respect those unwritten rules and go with it. You know, don't swing on 3-0 if you're ahead by like four runs. Or, you know, don't. What A-Rod did a couple years ago with Dallas Braden, where he ran across the mound going back to the dugout, all that sort of stuff. So I have no problem with him leaning into the pitch and breaking up Scherzer's perfect game. How about at the same time, Scherzer, all right, maybe don't pitch inside. Now, if you're that far ahead, don't pitch inside. You want to go away, you want to go low, fine. But I don't think you need to go inside if you've got a perfect game and you're leading by more than two runs. Again, I'm not playing the game, so I don't make up these unwritten rules, but just something that I observe, and that's all. We also had the NBA draft go on. Karl Anthony Towns goes first to the Minnesota Timberwolves. A lot of things just kind of fell in line. Okafor going to the 76ers was a little bit surprising, but I think the biggest surprise was Kristaps Porzingis, a Latvian player who last year played with FC Spain or Barcelona, I believe, one of the two. A European basketball player gets picked fourth. Now, the Knicks, you know, ever since they had the stats up, ever since Patrick Ewing was picked with the lottery pick, their lottery picks have not been successful. They measured it in all-star game appearances. You know, Ewing had 11, and all the other ones, which I think there were five or six of since Ewing, had been had no all-star game appearances or anything like that. So to see that, there hasn't been much success for the Knicks these last several lottery picks. You know, to go out and get this player who is, he's 7'2". He's 7'2", either with shoes or without shoes. So he's a legitimate 7 foot tall. Very thin. He's 19 years old. And he's really great with shooting the basket. They call him a sharpshooter, which is fine. I don't know, but here's the thing. In the NBA, how many 7 foot guys are going to be on the outside shooting? You know, mid to long range game. Mid range game, fine. You want to say he's like Nowitzki? Okay. But at least Nowitzki, he's got size, and I don't just mean height. He's 233 pounds, 19 years old, 7 foot. He's skinny. He's skinny. And in the NBA, if you're 7 foot, you're not going to, I don't care how good you are from the three-point line or, you know, in the long-range game, it's just not going to make sense for you to be out there. I don't know. It's just rather silly. It'd be interesting if, you know, as they say, in 2 to 3 years when he puts on pounds and he puts on muscle and he jumps up to, I think they said, like 260 he wants to get at. So 30 pounds in the next 3 years, it's doable, but will that diminish his shooting ability? Will that diminish his, you know, whatever intangibles he has? It's just going to be really interesting to see. But between him, and you can go back to Darko, I always forget how to pronounce his last name. But that was a European pick. It wasn't a lottery pick, but it was a pick by the Knicks several drafts ago, a European player. He never played. They drafted him, and he said he didn't come play for the Knicks. So when you see all these other teams that are picking really good players, and not just in the lottery, but later in the rounds, you got to wonder. I don't blame Nick fans one bit for complaining and being legitimately worried that Porzingis might not work out, because that's a waste of a pick if he doesn't, especially a lottery pick. You know, all these other teams wanted to trade guys like Cousins and stuff. Yes, hindsight is 20/20. You know, obviously, after the fact, you look back and you say, oh, maybe we can, maybe we should have done this. Maybe we should. Okay, that works well in the past. But at the same time, you got to think. You've got Carmelo Anthony, and he just signed a big contract for the Knicks. He's staying here. Phil Jackson told him, you know, we're going to build around you. We're very close. All this stuff. And you pick a guy who they talk about 2 to 3 years, he'll be ready to be really usable and really make a difference in the league. You know, Anthony is, what, 31 now? So he's going to be mid to late 30s. He just had knee surgery. He's not going to get back to where he was 5 years ago. Not even 10. Forget what he was 10 years ago. 5 years ago. It's not going to happen. So you want to, time's running out. And if you're going to go with Porzingis, just make sure you know what you're doing. And, you know, I feel bad for Knicks fans. I'm not a Knicks fan. I don't know. My allegiance, I'm interested in seeing how the Knicks do, but I don't have one allegiance to an NBA team. Not since the Nets left New Jersey. I hate to say it. Then I'm not a Nets fan, because I'm not big in with the black and white Nets. That's, I don't know. It's just not my forte. It's not something I really like. I'm not a big fan of Jay-Z being less than 1% of an owner, and he is driving the creative force. Something about that just has not sat right with me. And then he goes and leaves, and he becomes an agent, and I hope that's going well for him, but I don't know. Doesn't seem like it, or at least in the grand scheme of things. He's not Scott Boras, and I haven't heard his name, you know, other players signing with him, big-name players outside of Robinson Cano. So, you know, so that happened. And now the one thing I think that is good for the Knicks is the Knicks got rid of Tim Hardaway Jr., which, you know, depending on how you feel about it, might be a good thing or a bad thing. And they got a Jerian Grant out of Notre Dame, who's got a lineage. His dad, Harvey Grant, was in the NBA. Horace Grant, who we all remember with the goggles, was also in the NBA, a big part of Phil Jackson teams and all that stuff. I did hear something funny that, you know, the Porzingis pick and all these other deals and things that Jackson has been doing. This is almost like payback. This is some sort of revenge plot for all those years with the Bulls getting back at the Knicks. I just thought that was funny. Obviously, that's not true, but it's just funny to think about in a small portion of it. So, also was the NHL draft. The NHL draft and the major, and the baseball draft, the MLB draft, are very similar. There's so many, because all these players, they pretty much go right to their minor league systems. And so you only hear about them later on, or unless it's, you know, a lineage pick or a legacy pick, I should say. You know, like, oh, that his father played in the NHL when, you know, 20 years ago, or in baseball. Oh, he was a pitcher for the Expos, you know, 13 years ago, something like that. That's where those drafts become interesting. But because they go straight into their minor league system, it's not as interesting to watch or follow as it is with the NBA and the NFL draft. The NBA and the NFL draft, very similar. However, there are some very big differences. They're very similar because those players, they have a chance to play right away. They have a chance to be important cogs to their teams right off the bat. Watching those two drafts are very different, though. You know, the NBA draft moves a lot faster. And actually, this year, the commissioner, Adam Silver, actually allowed journalists to tweet out the draft picks, like each team's draft picks, before it's announced on the show, on the ESPN draft. So I thought that was really interesting. It made it go even faster, because you're like, oh, I remember at one point, I forget who was drafting, but you could find out who had drafted two picks later, and they hadn't even announced it. Like, really, Twitter and social media and just, you know, the draft blogs were moving a lot, were actually moving at points faster than the actual broadcast. But, and there's only two rounds in the NBA draft, which makes it go even faster. Because you only have got, what, 11 basketball players on a roster for a game, you know? You know, whereas the NFL is 53-man roster and all the different ways you can use the players. That's why there's seven rounds. And, but watching the NBA draft is more for a hardcore fan, or at least past the first five picks. You know, the first couple picks, those are the big names. He was the one they talked about. Or, you know, when LeBron James came out, where is he going to go first? All this stuff. So, and when you look, you know, a casual fan can tune into the NFL because you're more familiar with the college football players than you are the men's basketball players. Even if you do follow the March Madness and the national championship stuff in the men's basketball, you know, not always the best players are in those finals, except for, you know, with Carmelo Anthony, when him and Syracuse won the national title and then he got drafted. You know, you knew him because he was the player of the tournament that year, and you had just seen him not too long ago, you know, making a name for himself at Syracuse. So to see that, and then, oh, I know who that is. But, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, yeah, not many people knew about him, you know, even though he was, you know, you saw him late in the tournament. For a lot of people, for the casual viewer, it didn't really click that, oh, that's that guy. You know, the only one you can really compare that to would be Frank Kaminsky. Frank Kaminsky of Wisconsin. And then he gets drafted later by the Bobcats in the first round. So there's big differences between watching the NBA and the NFL draft, but they're very similar compared to how the NHL and the MLB hold their drafts as well. So, well, thank you very much for joining me on this episode of Everyman Sports. Again, I apologize that that the rain caused so much havoc on our recording in the Citi Field parking lot. But our number is 626-427-7678. Once again, that's 626-427-7678. You can call us and leave a message in about whatever topic you want, something I've mentioned on the show, something one of my guests have mentioned on the show, anything. You're more than welcome to call, and it's a pretty good bet that your phone call will get on to our broadcast. You can also find us on Twitter, at Everyman Sports. That's where you can find us. We're on iTunes, all that stuff. But don't let me tell you. Let Andrew tell you about it. Andrew, please, if you will.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.